commitment isn't easy. It leaves no wiggle room.
If you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't be a flexitarian. You know what a flexitarian is, don't you? A flexitarian is a vegetarian who eats meat. They eat meat when it's not convenient to be a vegetarian. But if you ask them if they're a vegetarian, they will say yes. Matter of fact, I was just in the store last week, and a woman was buying some stuff that wasn't, you know, kind of veggie stuff, and we asked, are you a vegetarian? She said, yes. But then she had some meat on the counter. And I said to her, you must be a flexitarian. She said, you're right.
It would be nice if we could have our cake and eat it too. And when it comes to our spiritual walk, it's no different.
Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, you can't be a flexitarian. You can't follow me only when it's convenient. You can't follow me when it's easy. And when things get very demanding, you go, oh, I gotta have some meat. That's what Jesus was telling this young man. You wanna follow me? Take everything you got and sell it.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. When you decide to become a follower of Christ, you should know there are often demands when you accept His calling on your life. Charles Tapp shares what happened when Jesus called a rich man to forfeit his wealth and how it applies to your life today with his message, The Rich Old Ruler.
Has there ever been a time in your life where you wanted to improve in a certain area? Maybe it was in acquiring a different skill to improve your job performance, or maybe you wanted to learn a language that was foreign to your own, or maybe you wanted to learn how to play a musical instrument. But when you talk with someone who was already doing what you wanted to do, who was already at the place in their lives where you wanted to be, you discovered that once they shared with you what it would actually take to reach the particular goal that you have, that the demands that will be placed upon you were too demanding. And it's not that you weren't appreciative of the counsel, of the advice that you were given, but in your mind, you looked upon it as being so challenging that it was just too demanding. Too demanding upon your time, too demanding maybe even upon your financial resources. So instead of pushing through, you decided to just throw up your hands in defeat instead of hanging on to your dreams. But what about the dream that all of us have had, the dream to be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ? Isn't that your dream today? What about that dream? Has there ever come a time in your life where you looked at what Christ required of you and said to yourself, it's just too demanding? What God is asking me to do to be a disciple, to be a faithful follower of His, is just too much. If you have ever felt that way, this story of the rich young ruler will resonate with you on many levels. Let's turn and just go back there for a moment as we go to Mark chapter 10, looking at verses 17 to verse 22. The word of God says, now as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. Verse 19. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. I think that one needs repeating today. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him, underline that, loved him, and said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me. Now look at verse 22. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. This story of the rich young ruler has the distinction of being one of those stories that is present in all of the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. As a matter of fact, Mark's gospel says that he was a man who had wealth. Luke's gospel provides us with the fact that he wasn't simply a man with means, but that he was also a ruler. And it is Luke's account of this story that lets us know that he wasn't just rich and that he wasn't just a ruler, but Luke adds to the story that he was young. So when you put all of these accounts together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, that's where we get the idea that this is a rich young ruler. And that's why it's so important that whenever we look at the life of Christ in the Gospels, we don't need to confine our study to just one in particular, but we need to look at every instance where a particular aspect of Christ's life is mentioned. And I don't know about you, but every time I read this story, there is something that I always discover for the very first time. But then there are other times I read this story, and even though I've read the story over and over again, I begin to see some things with a different eye. For when you look at how Mark introduces this story, he starts by sharing with his audience the following things. Number one, he gives us the setting. He says it's taking place in the region of Judea on the other side of the Jordan, where Jesus is walking down a road with his disciples, when all of a sudden, a young man came running up to him and knelt at Jesus' feet. Now, this was customary whenever you approached a rabbi as a student or a disciple. You would kneel before them. That doesn't happen with my students when I walk in my classroom. Maybe we need to start something new. When I was in graduate school, there was a professor there from another country, and he told us that he was accustomed that when he walked in the classroom, the students would stand. We told him, don't hold your breath. But it was customary to kneel before a teacher, to kneel before a rabbi. But then he presents Jesus with a question that spurs curiosity in all of their hearts. And the question is this: good teacher, what shall I do so that I can have eternal life? Now, before you begin to dissect this young man's question, and before you begin to dissect his motives, I think we should first applaud this young man. And let me tell you why. Because potentially, he had three characteristics in his life that in many cases would lead one away from God and not to God. First of all, it says that he was young. Then he had the audacity to be rich. And on top of that, he was a ruler. He was a man with power and a man with influence. In other ways, he had three things that for the most part don't draw you to God, but draw you away from God. I was just reading this past week in the latest research from the Pew Research Center, and they were saying that 20% of adults in the United States, 20% have no affiliation with anything religious, and 32% are from the age of 30 and below. This is the fastest growing group in this country. Individuals who don't want to have anything to do with God, anything to do with spirituality, anything to do with religion. The fastest growing group. As a matter of fact, they've even given it a name. They call them the nuns. Not N-U-N, but N-O-N-E, the nuns. They have no affiliation no desire to even approach anything that even smells of religion. And this young man was not only young, he was rich. In addition to being rich, he had power. When you put all these three together, you have the recipe of someone who is used to depending on no one else but himself. But listen to Jesus' response to this young man's question. He asked, "Why do you call me good? For there is no one good but who? God." Now, Jesus is not trying to deny his divinity, but he's simply questioning this young man to understand if he truly realizes just what it means for something to be good. But then Jesus makes an interesting statement. He proceeds to list several of the Ten Commandments. Matthew's gospel puts it this way. Matthew's gospel says that he began to tell the young man, if you want to be saved, then you need to keep the commandments, not to do this and not to do that. But then the young man says, got it, no problem. I've been doing this from the time I was a youth. And please don't miss this today, because if we're not careful, we can read into this story and think that Jesus is saying to him that your salvation is by your works. And I'm here to tell you today that that's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is not saying that if you want to be saved, you got to work your way into the kingdom of God. For by grace are we saved through faith, and not of ourselves, and not by works. It is the gift of God. Amen? I'm not saved because I reach a certain standard in my life. Listen, I can't even keep the commandments, and neither can you. When you look at Matthew chapter 5, and Jesus talks about this very same issue, for the Pharisees were trying to keep the commandments, and Jesus says, listen, you have heard it said in the law that you shall not commit adultery. Jesus said, I agree with that. But then he says, but I say unto you that if you look after a woman and lust after her, you have already committed adultery in your heart. And that goes for the women too, by the way. Women, if you look after a man and if you lust after him, you've already committed adultery in your heart. What is Jesus saying? Jesus is saying this, you guys are only focused on the outward extension of sin. I'm focused on the sin that goes beneath the surface. They focus and we focus on the fruit of sin. Jesus focuses on the root of sin. Those of you who are from Sligo, you know I love to garden. Amen?
Amen.
But when you get weeds in your garden and you want to pull them out so they don't grow back, do you just take off what you can see on the top? You got to go down to what? The root. You see, the Pharisees thought, well, if I don't do this, and if I don't do that, and if I do this, and I don't do that, then I must be good. But Jesus says, that's the fruit. I'm dealing with the root of sin. You may not take your brother's life, but you've got so much anger in your heart for your brother, if you could do it and get away with it and not get caught, you would do it. I'm going to say something that's going to shock some of you. There are some things we do or don't do, not because they're wrong, but because we don't want to get caught. Let's be honest. I never forget there was a pastor who was having a big argument with his elder. So he called the elder over to the church one night. The elder came into the sanctuary and it was dark and he couldn't find the pastor. The next thing he knew, somebody had hit him upside the head and knocked him out. When he got home, he called the pastor. This is a true story. I can't make this up. He called the pastor, he said, that was you, I know it was you. The pastor said, what are you talking about? I met the pastor, it was him. He's dead now, so I can say this. But there are some things we don't do, not because they're wrong, but because we simply don't want to get caught. Jesus wasn't telling him, if you want to be saved, keep the law. In essence, he was saying to him, if you want to be saved and you think it's in the law, then you will never understand what salvation is, because you can never perfectly keep the law of God. That's why I am saved by his amazing, marvelous grace. Is there anybody else with me today? The call to discipleship is not a call to works. It is a call to acknowledge our dependence on the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And if I can do that and God's Spirit works in me, you will get some works. Not because I'm trying to be saved, but because I am saved.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Rich Old Ruler. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.com. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
When you need prayer, the WGTS 91.9 prayer community is here for you.
You're just seconds away from requesting prayer
or praying for fellow listeners.
And this isn't your average app.
What's special about the WGTS 91.9 prayer community is that when someone prays for you,
you might never meet face to face, but for a few minutes, you are connected to the power of prayer.
Simply download the WGTS 91.9 app and click on When We Pray.
Request prayer.
Pray for others. The WGTS 91.9 prayer community is waiting for you.
This is Simple Truths for Life, and the life of a follower of Christ isn't always easy. In fact, there are often demands when you accept that calling on your life. Charles Tapp shares the story of a rich man who was asked to forfeit his wealth and what it means for us today as he continues with his message, The Rich Old Ruler.
See, we simply focus on the outward, but God focuses on the heart. Because the purpose of the law, Scripture makes it clear, is not to save us. It is to act as a mirror. It is to reveal to us the character of Christ. How many of you looked in the mirror before you came to church? Because when you don't look in the mirror, you'll miss this little white stuff that, you know. But that mirror can do nothing to get that out of my eye. All the mirror can do is say, you know what? You need to take care of that before you go out. And that's what Jesus was telling this young man. You think it's in the law? You're going to waste your time if you think salvation is through keeping the law. The law brings you to the feet of Jesus. And that's where the law brought him, exactly where he needed to be, at the feet of Jesus. But here's the thing. Whenever we are brought to the feet of Jesus, it is always to make the most important decision of our lives. And that's what happened to this young man. And look at what Jesus tells him to do. Look at verse 21 again. What does he say? You want to be saved? All your stuff, go sell it. Give your money to the poor. Take up your cross and then follow after me. Think about this for a moment. This young man who is rich, young, and he has the fact that he's a ruler, he has power, he has prestige, he has influence, and Jesus says, follow me. Now think about this. Jesus didn't even have a place to lay his own head. He didn't even have his own home. He always had to stay in somebody else's house. That's where the homeless ministry got started. And now he's saying to this young ruler, come and follow after me. At least when he told the fishermen to follow after him, he said, follow me and I'll make you what? Fishers of men. At least they got that much. But this young man doesn't even get that. Follow me if you want to be saved. Jesus is not saying that wealth is an issue. Because how many of you know there's nothing wrong with having money? The only people who will tell you that there's something wrong with having money is those who don't have any. Jesus never made having money an issue, but it was this young man's issue. Because it was the one thing that was standing in his way from keeping him from giving his life completely over to Jesus Christ. And I ask you today, what is the one thing in your life that is keeping you from giving your life totally and completely to Jesus Christ. Because that's what discipleship calls for. That's what it means to follow Jesus. Total commitment, total self-denial, and total trust. In other words, if you're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, you can't be a flexitarian. You know what a flexitarian is, don't you? No one? A flexitarian is a vegetarian who eats meat. No, I'm serious. Google it on your phone right now. But some of you don't believe me. They eat meat when it's not convenient to be a vegetarian. But if you ask them if they're a vegetarian, they would say yes. Matter of fact, I was just in the store last week, and a woman was buying some stuff that wasn't, you know, kind of veggie stuff. And we asked, are you a vegetarian? She said, yes. But then she had some meat on the counter. And I said to her, you must be a flexitarian. She said, you're right. I can't make this up. She said, how'd you know that? Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, you can't be a flexitarian. You can't follow me only when it's convenient. You can't follow me when it's easy. And when things get very demanding, you go, oh, I got to have some meat. That's what Jesus was telling this young man. You want to follow me? Take everything you got and sell it. Look at this quotation by Charles Spurgeon, the great preacher. He says, I wish saints would cling to Christ half as earnestly as sinners cling to the devil. Somebody needs to take a snapshot of that and put it up on social media. If we were as willing to suffer for God as some are willing to suffer for their lusts, what perseverance and zeal would be seen on all sides? Is that a powerful statement? If we could just have half as much as those who cling to the devil, we could just cling to God half as much. That's what discipleship is. It's giving up everything. It's giving up that thing that is standing in the way of us making a total commitment to Jesus. And I love what comes next. It says, and Jesus loved him, and he told him this. Listen, if you really love somebody, you got to tell them the truth. If you truly love somebody, you've got to be honest with them and tell them the truth. Listen, you're going down the wrong road. And that's what Jesus did. And then this young man walked away because for him, the demands of discipleship were too demanding. But in revealing his heart and the greed that lay within his heart, Jesus was showing him what salvation is all about. And the young man decided, too demanding, too much, and he walked away. And that's where I got this title from, the rich old ruler. Because there's an interesting juxtaposition here. Mark says Jesus loved him. But when he walked away, he did not follow him. He didn't try to get him back. And parents know all about this. Because if you've got adult children, once they reach a certain age, they can do what they want to do. You cannot force them to be committed to God, to Christ, to you, or anything else. This young man went away probably never, ever taking advantage of another opportunity to accept Christ. So he went from being a rich young ruler to becoming down the road a rich old ruler because he didn't take advantage of that nudge from the Spirit of God to follow Christ. Let me say something to you today, especially these young people who are here from all over the world. Let me say something to you. When you feel the nudge of the Spirit of God come into your life, don't ignore it. I don't care whether it's to give your life to Him or go in a certain direction or not go in a certain direction. If you feel the nudge of the Spirit of God in your life and you can feel it within your bones, take that opportunity and go with it. It has the potential of changing your life forever. And I stand here today as a witness. When I was in college, I had interviewed to work in California in their ministry for the summer. Several of my friends did the same thing, and with a few weeks had passed, they received acceptance letters, and I got nothing. I didn't even get a rejection letter. I didn't even get a letter to say, we don't want you. At least if they had said, we don't want you, I could have dealt with that. I would have cried. But I felt the nudge of the Spirit of God in my life. I cannot make this up. And the Spirit of God said to me, call California and ask them what's going on. Because I was getting discouraged. Guys who didn't even come to class got the job. So I went to the phone. There was no cell phone back in those days. And I had to pull out my phone card and put my number in and charge the long-distance call. And I'm calling California. And I asked for the gentleman's name, Dr. Leslie Anderson. Grew up in Chicago. Matter of fact, he baptized Magic Johnson. And I said, Dr. Anderson, I'm just wondering. I fill out an application for a summer job to work in your conference. And my friends have heard something, and I haven't heard anything. He said, what's your name again? I said, Charles Tabb. He said, you're not going to believe this. He says, I'm seated here right in front of my desk, and I have two applications in my hand. And we only have one more spot left. And I've been sitting here trying to decide which one we're going to hire. He said, because you called me, we're going to give the last position to you. I said, thank you, sir. They sent my ticket in the mail, and for the next 3 years, I worked in California. For the next 3 years, I served in multicultural churches. God, from back then, was preparing me to serve here. Matter of fact, the first church they sent me to, I called it the Rainbow Church. It had every color under the sun. For wherever God speaks to you, He is preparing you for something. Not just for you, but for others. If I had never called, I wouldn't be here. God has given you an opportunity to follow Him. You don't have time to be a flexitarian. God wants your heart. For God is calling us all to discipleship. He's not going to butter it up. He's not going to minimize what it requires. He's not going to force you to serve Him. But if you want to make the best decision of your life, listen to me. When you feel God nudging you through people, through His word, through doors, through situations, and so follow that voice. If not, you may end up being a rich old ruler, one who has missed the opportunity to accept what God had prepared for you before the foundation of the world.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, The Rich Old Ruler. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on Apple Podcasts and also on Spotify. Or visit us online at simpletruthsforlife.com. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
Freedom never has been free, and freedom never will be free. Freedom always comes with a cost.
Soon, our country's going to be celebrating its birthday, a day dedicated to our independence. But are we truly free? Next week, Charles Tapp examines the places in our lives that still enslave us as he shares his message, Free at Last. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.